Thanks for tuning in to Sermoncast, the preaching ministry of Christ Church of Amherst. You can learn more about Christ Church by visiting our website at ccnh.org.
Yeah, I actually asked in for today because it was something that I wanted to be here today. This was a Sunday. I mean, the elephant, of course, in the room is Ruth's passing. The funeral, and if this is not, we're not doing another funeral. But it's a time in our life when we're trying to figure out how do we move forward. And so, what I want to share today is actually more of a sermon for me. I've written out what I want to say to you all the next two Sundays, but this is something that is deeply personal for me in terms of how I try to. Process things and move ahead and deal with what comes in life. It's a sermon I preach probably two or three Sundays. I've already done it once. But I take comfort in the fact that nobody ever remembers what preachers say. But if you've heard it before, I offer no apology. I simply say that this particular thing that I'm talking about today is kind of the sermon that's in my heart every single day of my life. And so sometimes when you hear somebody speaking, it may sound, you know, how does this connect with them? This connects with me intensely. The passage of the sermon is the Last Supper. Jesus took the bread, he blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it. But I want to give it a different context than what I did before. So I want to start reading from the book of Ecclesiastes. Is this mic working? Okay, good. Ecclesiastes 3. There is a time for everything, and a season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to uproot. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to tear down, and a time to build. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace, a time to refrain, a time to search, and a time to give up, a time to keep, and a time to throw away, a time to tear, a time to mend, a time to be silent, a time to speak, a time to love, a time to hate, a time for war, and a time for peace. Let's pray. Our God, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to us this day, that you would speak into the deepest part of our beings, the word that you want us to hear. Whether that comes through me or not, Lord, that's what we pray. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, there is a time, there's various times, various seasons in our life. There's times where everything just seems mundane. Things are routine, things that are anything but routine, things that are boring, things that are dramatic and exciting. There's just all sorts of times. And the last 48 hours has been kind of a whiplash time for me. We had the time together on Friday. And then yesterday morning, I had a funeral for a different Ruth, a Ruth from Nashua, who died of a heroin overdose, a woman I knew 15 years ago when I buried her uncle for the same reason. So I've got the whiplash of funeral and funerals of Ruth, and I'm angry because the sociologists speak to us about how children replicate what happens in the lives of parents, and I remember having conversations with Ruth and how she was going to be different, and so I'm driving up to Soulfest because I'm speaking at Soulfest yesterday, so I'm driving up, and in my mind, Neil Young's song is just dancing through it, the needle and the damage done. And so I've just got this thing going through my mind. I've got other things going through my mind. And get up to Soul Fest, and I'm supposed to give two sessions on this thing that I'm working on with my next book with Identity. And the two sessions are absolutely packed. And it's, you know that you've hit a nerve when in the room you've got medical doctors, you've got psychologists and psychiatrists, you've got middle school kids, you've got parents, you've got all types. And so you know that speaking of this particular issue is something that's on everybody's minds and they want to talk about it. And in 45 minutes and two sessions, you don't get very far. But you've got people at the end of the session standing up and saying, I'm teaching my son how to be a man, I'm teaching my daughter how to be a woman, and somebody else gets up and says, I'm gay, and you've just run out of time. And people are talking past each other. And if you're asking me, you know, what's on store for me, I've said this before and I was reminded of it again. For whatever reason, God's laid it on my heart to speak to this issue of who are we? What does it mean to be created male and female in the image of God? What does it mean to be human? And my last book took like 7 years to write, and people despaired that I'd ever publish it, but the point was that it wasn't about writing a book. It was about writing a book in a way that would connect with people. And last year, Sex in the Eye World sold more copies than any of the previous years, which is extraordinarily unusual. And my burden is to do the same thing with this next book. I could publish a book. I could publish it now. If I got it out there, people would buy it. I'd get speaking invitations. But the point isn't to just publish a book. How do I speak into this culture and this time in a way that will be relevant 3-5 years from now on the issue of identity? And that's my burden. And the St. Anselm will convene in a few weeks, and I'll be with 18 to 22-year-olds again. And our campus will convene, and we'll be convening for the first time since the Supreme Court decision. And there'll be lots of discussion on campus, and I just feel like that's where God wants me to be. If you're saying, is that where I want to be? The answer is no. I'd much rather be here. But I think that's where God wants me to be. And then on my way home last night, it was my night to preach at the prison. So I went to the prison and preached, and the place was utterly and totally packed. And then the guys get up and start talking about, if you're walking through the yard, people are having Bible studies. I'm getting whiplash again. It's like, wow. There's this and there's that. There's this and there's that. There's this and there's that. And how do you stay centered? How do I stay centered? When all this is going on, and how do you stay centered in life? I don't know what tomorrow brings. I hardly know what this afternoon brings. I don't know. We don't know. None of us know. But how do you stay centered? And Henry Nouwen, a professor I had, the one year he taught at Harvard Divinity School, gave a class that has changed my life. And he spoke about something that he discovered to center him in Christ every day. And to be able to be centered and walk through this valley of the shadow of death that we have. And it's become really my mantra. And what Nouwen says is that it's really hard for us to walk through the valley of the shadow of death because we have hopes and we have expectations, we have things that we want to happen, and it's not going to be like that. And then at the time that we feel like we can't do anything right, things will happen. Prisoners will decide they want to have Bible studies in the quad. But it wasn't because anything we did. And how do you stay centered when the world is saying there's a certain way we ought to think about life, a certain way we ought to think about death, a certain way we ought to think about success, a certain way we ought to think about church growth, a certain way we should think about all things. How in the world, in this, how do you stay centered with this? And it's being centered in success. I mean, I can go talk to megachurch pastors, and basically after 5 minutes, I get the impression that they feel like they came upon a formula that'll grow the thing, and it was all about them. Then I can talk to pastors of really small churches who have the gift of shrinking churches, which is a gift I feel like I have from time to time, and you feel like nothing you do is going to work. And how do you stay centered? How do you get up in the morning and say, this is what I need to do to stay focused? And Nouwen said as follows. If you want to be able to handle the things that are going to come at you, because they're going to come, and they're going to come times fast and furious, and they're going to come hard, you need to embrace the truth. And the truth is that each one of us is chosen by God. Jesus took the bread. He chose it. It's the easiest thing for us to feel insignificant in this world. And you can say, well, I feel insignificant, but Pastor Dale doesn't feel insignificant. But Pastor Dale does feel insignificant. Pastor Dale's now 57. He was 56 last time he was with you. But now Pastor Dale's 57. And the reality is that there comes a stage, and I'm beginning to see it, where I hear people say, well, you're too old to pastor. And I'm saying, I'm not too old to pastor, but I'm 57. And for some reason, I'm getting too old for stuff. And it is easy to feel insignificant when nobody wants to hear what you have to say. Or people just dismiss you. Or you labor week after week and month after month, and nothing seems to happen. And things that you hoped for didn't happen. It's really, really easy for any of us to feel insignificant. And when we feel insignificant, we can fall into despair. And when we fall into despair, we fall into despondency. And when we fall into despondency, we can't get our hope, we can't put our foot in front of the other, and we just check out. And what Nouwen says, each one of us needs to realize that what Jesus is saying to us from cover to cover in the scripture is, you have significance. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. You have significance. Jesus Christ died for you. Our Heavenly Father made you. He knows the hairs on your head. He knows everything about you. He knew you before you were born. He designed you. He put his spirit into you. You have significance. God designed you. He took you. He chosen you. And each one of us, no matter how hard it is some days, each one of us needs to embrace the chosenness from God. Sometimes we get full of ourselves and we feel like we don't need God's chosenness. No, we need to embrace God's chosenness on those days because we need to recognize it's more significant than anything any of us could possibly do. If you want to stay centered spiritually and connected to God, we need each one of us to live in the reality of this chosenness. God chose us. And this truth needs to be in our brain, and it needs to sink in our soul. So if you ask me, why does this captivate me every day of my life? It's because I think spirituality, the spiritual disciplines, what it means to become spiritually mature, is taking things that you can listen to in your ears and put in your brain. But if you want to become spiritually deep, you've got to let them sink into your soul and become part of your spiritual DNA. And that is a day-by-day discipline in embracing the chosenness. He took the bread and he blessed it. It's easy for us to feel cursed. Why do bad things happen? Why do people die? Why is it that it's not just people that die, but it's dreams that die? Why is it that things we hoped for don't materialize? Why is it that as people get older, they seem to become less idealistic? Why is it that life seems to beat stuff out of us? And what Nouwen says is that each one of us needs to realize is that we have this voice within us that say that we're cursed. We have this voice within us that if we give it very much of a volume, we're going to hear all the bad things we've ever done. We're going to hear sins that we've committed, things that we've done. Those things are going to speak condemnation into our hearts. Things we did as children, things we did as teenagers, things we did in our 20s and our 30s, things we did last month and last week and earlier today, things that we said, things that we should have said. All sorts of things speak condemnation to us. And then we look at our lives and we see that things aren't turning out exactly as we'd hoped. Things are struggling. Our relationships aren't what they ought to be. Our relationships with our parents, with our children, with our God. Things aren't what they're supposed to be. And we say, well, it's my fault. I had it coming. It's my way of being punished. I'm cursed. I deserve it. And that's not what Jesus is saying about us. Jesus says, you are my brother and sister. He doesn't just say you're a slave. It would be great to eat crumbs from the table on the floor in the God's throne room. That's not a bad gig. No, but that's not what he says. He says, we're brothers and sisters. We get to go to the table. We get to eat at the table with him. On the day that Jesus was baptized, it says, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. There's this blessing that comes to Jesus from heaven. You are my beloved. And we need to recognize that God is saying the same thing about each one of us. We are blessed by God. Jesus wants to bless us. He wants to bring us to heaven. He wants us to sit at the throne room with as brothers and sisters with Jesus Christ. And Jesus calls us blessed. And we need to recognize that despite our sins, despite the things that go wrong, despite these things, the way in which God wants us to hear is that we are loved. We, each one of us, is the beloved. And we need to recognize that this is the truth. Now, you might be saying, well, Dale's into positive thinking right now. But no, that's not what it's about. But the thing is, life is hard. Really hard. And if you read Nouwen's biography, you'll know how difficult it was for him at times. But the reality is that in order to deal with the stuff that's going to come at us on this earth, because it's a battle between heaven and hell, it's tough. It's a battle. Things don't go well for us. There's casualties. Things are hard. We need to embrace these truths in order to gird ourselves for the battle. It's not about your self-realization. That's not what I'm up here for, as you've already figured out. No. We have to embrace the truths that we're significant, that we're blessed, that we're loved, and that the fundamental truth about these things is that God chose me, that he blessed me, that God loves me, and I need to acknowledge this and embrace it and make it part of my DNA so that as I walk on this earth and people are telling me I'm insignificant and I'm cursed, I can say back to them, no, I'm chosen and I'm blessed, and it doesn't matter what you say, and it doesn't matter what happens, and it doesn't matter how you interpret what happens. This is the truth about who I am. And the reason we have to embrace that is because after Jesus took the bread and he blessed it, he broke it. And the reality is that part of the life on this earth, and we need to realize this so that we can be prepared for it, is that part of reality is that each one of us are going to be broken. He took the bread, he blessed the bread, and he broke the bread. And its brokenness is really hard to deal with. And so in a certain sense, Nouwen is saying you've got this paradoxical situation. It often seems to us that the first things we should go to are our sin and our brokenness and blah, 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 blah. But Nouwen says, no, you better embrace your chosenness. You better embrace the fact that you're blessed and loved so that you can also embrace your brokenness. Each one of us have had dreams that have died. Each one of us have had prayers that weren't answered, or at least weren't answered the way we wanted. Each one of us have poured ourselves into people only to have them reject us. We've poured ourselves into businesses only to have them go bankrupt. We've poured ourselves into families only to see them broke apart. And we poured ourselves into friendships and relationships only to see it die. We've poured ourselves into nations, not so much over here yet maybe, but in various parts of the world. You pour yourself into your nation and civil war engulfs it. You pour yourself into all manner of things, and there's brokenness, and there's cancer, and there's illness, and there's hopes and dreams. You can't walk this earth without knowing brokenness. There is a reason why there's alcoholism and substance abuse and addiction. If we're honest, that's painful, really painful to walk. And it seems counterintuitive to embrace our brokenness. I mean, if you're like me, and you grew up in Minnesota, and you realize that emotions came from Satan, right? You know, when something painful comes, you just push it away, which is what us Midwestern Swedes and Germans do. You just push it away. You just push it away. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. It's not real. It's for the weak, the spiritually mature. No, we're broken. And what Nouwen says is we need to embrace it. Why? Because human beings, if you get to know them, are primarily defined by what they're running from. We're defined by the things that we've chosen not to deal with and push away. You know, you see somebody in their 30s and their 40s and they're doing weird stuff. And you get to know them and you find out that it sounds like something their parents did. You get to know them and you realize there's some story in their life that caused pain, abuse, sexual abuse, any number of things. Somebody, a significant person, dying when they're in their teens. You name it. And what ends up happening in our lives is we think that when we push something away, that it's out of our lives. But the reality is this thing we're pushing away comes to define who we are. And how many people do you know that you begin to have a conversation with them and you can't finish the conversation with them because at some point the conversation quit being a conversation with you, but rather it's a conversation about something that happened 20 years ago with somebody else and they can't get past it. And what Nouwen says is what we need to do is embrace our pain. We need to embrace our the things that hurt us most deeply. We need to embrace those things and we need to take them and embrace them. And Nouwen's word is you need to take them and put them under the cross. You need to take those things that are hurting so bad and you need to bring them to Jesus. You need to say, Jesus, this is my pain. Jesus, this is killing me. Jesus, this is the thing that's me. Jesus, help me. Jesus, heal me. Jesus, take this from me. Jesus, help me to move past this or through it or whatever. And Nouwen says the paradoxical thing in life is that if you embrace this thing that you bring under the cross, the pain that you're embracing, this painful experience that you're having, this thing that's so hard, and that at some point you find yourself beginning to dance. Nouwen says that at some point you find that as you're beginning to be healed from this thing, all of a sudden there's something that shows up in your life that you didn't expect, which is there's a spark of joy. And you don't know where it came from. It certainly didn't come from you. There's this spark of love that starts to show up. There's spark of life. There's this spark of new life. This thing that nobody believed they could get past that you have to push away. Embrace that pain and bring it under the cross. And he's got this brilliant illustration, again, and I live with this thing. If you come into my office, you'll see a kind of a painting on my wall that represents this for me because I have to live in this place. Because the idea is that when we encounter these painful, difficult, horrible things, there's nothing redemptive. Nouwen speaks of Leonard Bernstein's funeral mass. And he sees this chapel out in the Bavarian countryside out in Germany. And there's this little church that has no significance whatsoever. It reminds me of a lot of churches in New England. Our average size is 80 to 85. You know, it's the average size of probably the fourth grade girls' youth group in California. Churches that have no significance. But this one church had this crystal chalice, and it was beautiful. And people would come to the Mass just to take Mass out of this chalice. And one day, as they're performing the Mass, the priest is holding up the cup. And as he's doing it, something happens, and he drops it, and it breaks into thousands of pieces on the floor. And people are devastated. And in Bernstein's Mass, people leave without saying a word. It's silence. I don't know if you've ever seen his Mass. He's got the music, but he's also got a choreography that goes with it. So people leave, including the priest, and he comes in 3 days later to clean it up. And as he walks in, the sun is shining through the stained glass window, and he comes in and he looks down, and the sun happens to be shining onto the glass in the floor, and he's transfixed by it. After a minute, he looks at it and he says, "I never realized that broken glass could shine so bright. I never realized that broken glass could be so beautiful. We never realize that it's in our brokenness that God can begin to achieve things." Jesus said, "Unless a kernel of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it does nothing. But if it dies, it can produce great things." Jesus said to his disciples, "Don't you know that the Son of Man must die in order to accomplish the things he's done?" Then when we look at the gospel and we look at what the life of Jesus and we look at the plan of God, that the reality is that in order for any of us to have life at all, Jesus had to die. In order for new life to come, there had to be death. In order for new life to come, we have to be broken. And we have to be broken, each one of us, of our pride, of our self-sufficiency, of our idolatries. We have to be broken of things that would take us, keep us from God. And in a certain sense, we can never have the life with God that we want to have unless we submit to this brokenness.
Thanks again for tuning in to Sermoncast. We hope you enjoyed this week's message. For more podcasts, you can visit ccnh.org and subscribe to our channel through the Sermoncast link. We'd also invite you to connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/Christ Church of Amherst. Until next time, God bless.